You are listening to A True Church Perspective from the Macedonia Baptist Church family. We pray that this message is a true blessing to you.
If you have your Bibles, will you please turn to Matthew chapter 14? Matthew chapter 14, we'll start reading at verse 22. Amen. I'm reading out of English Standard Version. Amen. If you are on your phone, that would be the version I'm reading today, the English Standard Version. Matthew chapter 14, verse 22, a very familiar passage of Scripture. And it reads, immediately he made his disciples get into the boat and go before him to the other side while he dismissed the crowd. And after he had dismissed the crowds, he went up on a mountain by himself to pray. And when the evening came, he was alone. But when the boat By the time the boat was a long way from the land, beaten by the waves, for the wind was against them. In the fourth watch of the night, he came to them walking on the sea. But when disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were terrified and said, "It is a ghost." And they cried out in fear. But immediately Jesus spoke to them, saying, "Take heart. It is I. Do not be afraid." And Peter answered him, said, "Lord, if it was you, command me to come to you on the water." He said, "Come." So Peter got out of the boat and walked on the water and came to Jesus. But when he saw that the wind, he was afraid. And he began to sink, and he cried out, "Lord, save me." Jesus immediately reached out his hand and took hold of him and said to him, "Oh, you of little faith, why did you doubt?" And when they got into the boat, the wind ceased, and those in the boat worshiped him, saying, "Truly, you are the Son of God." And in verse 29, he said, "Come." So Peter got out of the boat and walked on the water. Today I want to talk about doing the impossible. Doing the impossible. My wife came to me in her second semester of nursing school. We've been married for maybe about a year, and she said, "Baby, I need to tell you something. I need you to sit down." So we sat down, and she said that, "I am about to run out of financial aid money, and I know that we're barely making ends meet, but I need you to help me pay for school. For me to complete my dream, we have to pay out of pocket, and I'll have to apply for scholarships." And I turned to her and I said, "Baby, we gonna make it. The Lord will provide." I turned around after we got done our conversation, I prayed, and I said, "Lord, I need for you to do the impossible. I need you to make what is impossible possible." And I tell you, my wife graduated last year with a degree in nursing. She didn't miss a semester. She didn't have to retake any classes. It was all because God did the impossible. And if you was to look back over your own life, you will see that God has done the impossible. You applied for a job that you were not qualified for. God had made the impossible possible. You didn't qualify for the house, but God can make the impossible possible. You didn't know how you was going to overcome that drug addiction, but God made the impossible possible. You didn't know how you was going to overcome that bad relationship, because God can make the impossible possible. And I don't know about you this morning, I'm glad I serve a God that specializes in making the impossible possible. In our text this morning, Peter shows us that we can make the impossible with Jesus. That you can do the impossible with Jesus. In the text, we got to understand that now Jesus is taking his focus of his ministry has now switched. Yes, he is still healing the sick. Yes, Jesus is still raising the dead. Yes, still Jesus still opened up blinded eyes. But now Jesus is transforming his ministry to his disciples. And Jesus is right now trying to teach his disciples something. So you understand that in the text that he just fed the 5,000, not including women and children. In John, it tells us that the crowd had wanted to make him king. But he was trying to show them that he didn't want them to have no false idea of who he really is. That he is not just a God of bread, but he is also the God of storm. That he is not just the God of our need, but he's the God of our storm. And his disciples would need to know that, because Matthew was going to be skinned in Iran. John was going to be boiled in hot water. Thomas, he going to be empowered in India. Peter was going to be sacrificed upside down. James was going to be beheaded. See, they needed to know that God is not a God of my need, but he is a God of my storm. And see, some of us in here, we think God is a genie, that we can just tell God, hey, God, I need this. God, I want you to do this. God, I want you to open a door over here. But he is not just a God of my need, but he is a God of a storm. And that what you got to understand this morning is that you can make it through your problem if you understand who God is. Because God specializes in doing the impossible. The first thing we see here in the text is that you have to defeat your fears. Jesus sent his disciples into a storm. But while they are in the storm, Jesus is praying for them. We have to understand this morning that the disciples are in a storm not because they were disobedient, but they are in a storm because they are obedient. And many of us think in here that only thing we can have storms is because we are being disciplined by God. No. Sometimes we are in storm because we are obedient to the Lord. We think all because we are deacons, all because you a preacher, all because that you a trustee, all because you a usher. You think that all because you do work for God that you are not able to have storms. But sometimes you are in a storm because you obey God. And Jesus tells us, he tells his disciples, he said, listen, I need you to go over to the other side. But the question is, where is Jesus in the middle of the storm? I know that sometime in life that you are confused, that you are frustrated, that you don't know which way to go. And you be scratching your head and saying, where is Jesus? I didn't pray my prayer. I didn't sing my favorite song. Where is Jesus? Jesus, watch this in the text, is walking on the water. So that storm that they could, that was unbearable for them, Jesus has the power to walk on it. And I came to tell somebody this morning that even though the storms of your life is raging, Jesus has the power to walk in the middle of your circumstance. And look at this. Jesus can handle whatever your situation is. And that's why I'm glad this morning I serve a God who can handle my circumstance. That he can get me out of my trouble. He can get me out of my pain. That he can heal my body. He can make me strong. Now, but what kind of man is this? He is doing the impossible. Jesus is walking on water. But we never heard of this before, because we do other things with water. We drink water. We bathe in water. We freeze water. Some of us have these energy drinks where we add powder to our water. But what about walking on water? But not only is Jesus walking on water, watch this. They think that it's a ghost. And Jesus tells them that it is I. Jesus is walking on water. They are in a storm. They think it's a ghost. And then Jesus says, it is I. You got to understand that what this I is. This is the same I that is used in Exodus chapter 3, verse 14. When Moses is at the burning bush, and he says, who shall I tell Pharaoh who sent me? He says, you tell them that I am has sent you. And so what Jesus was trying to tell them in the middle of that storm was that he was trying to show his disciples who God is. And when you go through your storms of life, God is just all trying to tell you who he is. That he is Jehovah Jireh, that he will provide. That he is Jehovah Nissi, the Lord your banner. That he is Jehovah Raha, the Lord that heals. That he is Jehovah Tishkenu, the Lord of your righteousness. You got to understand who Jesus is in the middle of your storm. So you don't got time to walk with your head down. You walk with your head up, knowing that God will see you through your storm. We too busy as Christians walking with our head down and not looking to the hills from which cometh our help. Because our help comes from the Lord. See, we too busy trying to get into the problem and not allowing to see what God is in the middle of our situation. So we got to understand we have to feed our storm. We have to feed our fear. The next thing we see in this text, that we got to stay focused on Jesus. This grand pastor, this past week, my wife came to me again and said that I had this iPhone, and I noticed, she said, that every time she unplugged it from the power source, that it begins to die. The battery begins to get low. And she has to hurry up and put it back on the charger. And I told her, I said, that's because you bougie. Most of these iPhone users, all y'all bougie. I got an Android phone. If you would have got an Android phone, you wouldn't be dealing with this. But you want to be bougie, that's fine. So the problem with this phone is that it got to stay connected to the power source. So what Peter did, he stepped out in faith because he was connected to the power source. But when the wave started getting, when the wind started blowing, he did not stay connected to the power source. He started looking at the wind. He started focusing on the distractions.
And we got to understand that we have to overcome the distractions that's happening in our life. Listen, bro, man, I know that she looked good, but she a distraction. I know, girl, I know that he looked like Tay Diggs. He a distraction. We deal with a lot of things that throw us off and throw our focus off on the main thing, and that is being connected to God. And see, Peter was able to do the impossible because he was connected to Jesus. And you able to do the great things in your life and because of Jesus. A lot of us, we try to act like it was all on us, that we arrive all on us. No, no, no. You arrive where you are, well, because the Lord was seeing you through. No, no, you think that you got a couple Benjamins in your pocket that the Lord didn't see you through when you had a couple tens in your pocket. See, we got to learn how to stay focused on Jesus. And many of us in here, we came in the church distracted. We so focused on what Sister So-and-So have on. We so focused on that she got a new wig on, that she got a new outfit on, that we can't come in the house of God and really worship. We are so focused on church hurt and pain of our lives, and we have to learn how to release that unto God and learn how to be focused on him. Because watch this. When he got connected, disconnected, what he did was he was sinking, and he prayed, Lord, save me. And that's many of our testimonies here this morning, that when we was down and out, When we didn't know which way to go, we cried out and said, Lord, save me. And we ought to continue, watch this, is to pray when we are not meeting, and where we are failing in life. When we're not meeting the mark, we have to learn how to pray. We have to learn how to pray without ceasing. Pastor W.W. Williams said this. He said, if you pray little, you will have little power. He said, much prayer, much power. And see, you got to learn that when you are sinking, that you got to get down on your knees and pray. You got to learn how to call on the name of the Lord and stop trying to figure it out all by yourself. You know you can't figure out this storm by yourself. You know that you can't make it without God. So stop trying to figure it out on your own. Learn how to lean and trust on the Lord, and he will see you through. Oh, to have some prayer warriors in this morning that says, I know what prayer can do. I was down to nothing, and I prayed, Lord, save me, and he picked me up. He turned me around. He placed my feet on solid ground. The next thing in the text we see is that we have to defeat our fears. We have to stay focused on Jesus. The next thing we see that we must continue to have faith in Jesus. As they still about to get in the boat, Jesus tells them this. He says, O ye of little faith, why did you doubt? It's because Peter had enough faith to walk on water. He had enough faith to make the first step. But he didn't have enough faith that God can see him to the second step. And many times in life, we have just enough faith just to say, Lord, give me a job. But we don't have the next step of faith where God can see you through the boss that's acting crazy. We say, Lord, I want a house. And then when the Lord bless you with your house, you don't have faith that God will help you make your mortgage payment. See, many of us in here, we have that first step. Yes, I trust you, God, but we don't put our all into trusting God. And that what Jesus was trying to tell Peter here. He was trying to tell Peter that you got to learn how to put your total faith, trust in me. And you must declare to your problem, no matter what it is, that you have the faith. that you have the faith to see the unseeable, that you have the faith to expect the incredible, that you have the faith that can conquer anything. Now watch this. Look at this. Look how Matthew presents to us the wind. In verse 24, they say that the wind is against them. All right? In verse 30, they said that he saw the wind. And in verse 32, it said that the wind ceased. Let me try it again. He said that in verse 24, that the wind was against them. In verse 30, he said that he saw the wind. In verse 32, the wind ceased. What happened? God did not just stop the storm. But what happened was, when wind ceased, meaning that the storm got tired. And what God is trying to tell you here this morning is that your storm of life is going to come. But you got to learn how to have faith, because your faith will help you get through your storm. That the wind got tired. But guess what? As long as you keep having faith, your faith will not get tired, because your faith will outlast the storm. And I have a few winners up in here that said that my faith outlasted my storm. That my faith in God can outlast whatever the devil is trying to put in my face. That I walk by faith and not by sight. Do I have any faith walkers in here this morning who said that I'm walking and believing in God? One day, a lady was driving along with her father. They came upon a storm, and the young lady asked her father, "What should I do?" He said, "Keep driving." Cars began to pull over to the side of the road. The storm was getting worse. He said, "What should I do?" The young lady asked. The grandfather said, "Keep driving." Up on a few feet, she noticed that 18-wheelers were also pulling over. She told her dad, "I must pull over. I can barely see ahead of me. It's terrible. Everyone is pulling over." Her father told her, "Don't give up. You just keep on driving." Now the storm was terrible, but she stopped. She never stopped. She kept driving, and soon she got on the other side. And then her father told her to pull over. He said, "What you mean? Why pull over now? Pull over now." He said, "I want you to look back at the people who are still in the storm. Because you kept driving, because you kept pushing, you was able to get through your storm." And I ought to come in here to tell somebody in here this morning that you keep on pushing. You keep on having faith in the Master, and you will get through your storm. Do I have any witnesses up in here who knows about having faith in God? Anybody in here that knows that God can see you through? Anybody in here know that God can open up a door? Anybody in here know that God can make a way for you? You ought to give him praise this morning, because you know that you can make it through your storm. All you gotta do is put your trust, in the Master, and he will see you through. Oh, shucks. I wish I had a witness in here this morning who knows that God deserves all the praise, and he deserves all the honor. Anybody in here know what they did in the text? When they made it through their storm, they came up here and worship and prayed Jesus. Anybody in here know that my God deserves all the praise? That my God deserves all the honor? My God deserves all the praise? Anybody in here glad that he died? I'm going to give you 5 reasons why you ought to praise him. He died. Number 2, he died. Number 3, he died. Number 4, he died. Number 5, he died. Early a Sunday morning, he got up with all power in his hand. Anybody in here glad that he got power? Anybody? anybody in here know you can do the impossible with the master? Say I am. Say I. Say I. I know he's all right. Anybody in here know that he's all right? Anybody in here know that he can see you through? Let me hear you say I am. Say it! Yeah!
We hope you enjoyed this message today, and we pray that it was a true blessing to you. If you are interested in learning more about Pastor Charles D. Twyman and the Macedonia Baptist Church family, you can reach out to us at www.mbcdet.com. Thank you, and God bless you.